So I've noticed something. I admire people who do things that I can't do. Don't you? I mean, they've got something I don't have. Like athletes during the Olympics, I'm watching these athletes doing all this crazy stuff, and I just kept thinking, I can't do that. You know, I'm just not athletic enough to do what they do. And every time I talk to like a doctor, you know how smart you have to be a doctor? And every time I'm around a doctor, I think, I go to school, I could try, but I can't do that. I'm not smart enough to do what they have to do. And every worship service, I'm taken by the people on the stage that are playing these instruments and singing these songs and everything, and they're just so talented. And I just watch them and I think, I can't do that. I'm just not talented enough to do what they do. And I see just all kinds of people. I see single moms and they're raising their kids and they're working two jobs and they're paying their bills and they're trying to be two people at the same time. And I say, man, I can't do what they do. I'm just not strong enough. I can try, I can apply myself, I can, you know, do everything I can, but I'll never be a great athlete, and I'll never be a doctor, and I'll never be a musician, and I will probably never be a single mom, right? For lots of reasons. We talked about that a few weeks ago, but mostly, listen, it's mostly because I'm not smart enough. I'm not talented enough, and I'm not strong enough. And I don't want to envy people. I don't want to covet their gifts or whatever, but I'll always just admire people like that because they've got something that I don't have, and so they can do something that I just can't do. So we've been talking about Peter, right, and all of his stories, and this guy just did so much. And as I'm reading his stories again, I'm having the same feeling. I can't do that. You know, I can't do that. And you know why? You know what Peter had that I don't have? It's not smarts, right? And it's not strength, and it's not talent. Peter had incredible boldness. Peter was just so bold. And you see it from the very beginning, right? When Jesus calls him, Jesus walks up to him at work and just says, "Follow me," right? No explanation of what that means, no job description to go with that. And Peter's just like, "Yeah, I'm in." I mean, do you know how bold you have to be to say yes to God when you don't even know what he's asking you to do? You don't know what he's going to ask you to give up. You don't know what he's going to ask you to take on. And he just, I mean, what about his business? What about his house? What about his family? But it's like he just boldly said yes and started following. He's very bold. And he was so bold about telling people about Jesus. In Acts 2, it's a famous story, right? The Holy Spirit comes. And remember the story there? They're all acting crazy and they're speaking languages they don't know. Their hair's on fire. The wind's blowing crazy. And people are watching them and they're saying, "What is happening in this place, man? These people must be drunk," right? And here's Peter. He stands up in front of thousands of people and he goes, "They're not drunk. They're not drunk. This is what the prophets told us was going to happen when Messiah comes, and Messiah has come." Right? He was just so bold. He gives this incredible sermon about who Jesus. They just got through killing Jesus, right? And he's given this incredible bold sermon about who Jesus is. The Bible tells us that 3,000 people believed that day. 3,000 people got baptized. And my whole life I've read that story and I've always pictured, here's Peter, he's preaching this great sermon, right? And then it's like, okay, who's in? The baptistry's open. And now the line forms, right? 3,000 people? 3,000 people? We baptized 18 people a couple of weeks ago. We're baptizing, I think, four more today. That's 22 people in 2 weeks. Is that awesome? That's awesome. That's amazing. 3,000 people. Right? And I'm picturing, I thought, I've always pictured him like, next, next, right? 3,000 people, but I did the math and I realized if he spent 1 minute on each baptism, that's 50 hours. Wow. 50 hours of nonstop baptizing people. So there's no way that's what happened. Something, I don't know, there were 11 of them. Maybe they split it up, you know, alphabetically or something. I don't know how they did that. But 11, at 11 disciples doing the baptizing, that's 272 each. Right? At again, at a minute, that's about 4.5 hours of constant, every minute, 11 people getting baptized. I don't know how they did it. Maybe they sprayed them with a fire hose or something. However they did it. However they did it, 3,000 eternities were changed forever that day. And it starts because Peter, what? Boldly stepped up and told people about Jesus. He's so bold. I was thinking about how bold Peter was in asking Jesus for a miracle. Remember when Jesus is walking on the water out there, and they're crazy. They're scared. They think they're fixing to die, right? They see Jesus out there. Oh, it's a ghost or whatever. Oh, wait, maybe I think it's Jesus. And Peter yells to Jesus. His life is in peril, right? Do you get that?
Yes.
Do you get it or not?
Yes.
Okay, so the boat is going down, and they think they're going to die, and they see this thing out there. Maybe it's a ghost. And Peter says to him, in the midst of lightning and thunder and crazy waves crashing, all the other guys are crying in the boat, right? And Peter sees Jesus, and he says, if it's you, tell me to come walking on the water to you, and I will. And he did, right? That's kind of bold, right? And that wasn't the last miracle that he asked for. In fact, Peter did so many miracles, so many healings, that Acts 5 tells us that eventually the lines got too long and people gave up. You'll never get in to see Peter, man. So you know what they would do? They would put sick people where his shadow would fall. And if his shadow fell on people, they would be healed. I mean, do you know how bold you have to be to ask God to do a miracle through you? Do you know how bold that is? Because what if he doesn't? Right? That's a lot of, like, pressure. So I think he doesn't care. He's so bold. He boldly says yes to following Jesus. He boldly preaches and tells people about Jesus. He boldly asks God to do miracles in him and through him. But I think his boldness shows up best in the way that Peter stood up to opposition. I mean, in Acts chapter 3, he gets arrested by the same people that just got through killing Jesus. Right? It was 2 months later. Right? It's still fresh on everybody's mind. These guys are still hungry with power. We're going to kill this Christian thing. We've gotten rid of Jesus. You know, what's next for us? And Peter heals a man. We'll read the whole story here in a second. But he ends up being called before those same people that had Jesus put to death. And he gets beat up lots of times. I mean, he gets imprisoned lots of times. He gets threatened all the time by super powerful, influential people, but he never backs down. He boldly stands up to opposition. And I tell you, I read his stories, and I think the same thing that I thought about all those other people. I think, you know what? I'll never do those things. You know why? I'm just not bold enough. And maybe you feel the same way, but here's the thing. As Christians, we're called. We're called to do those same kind of things. And maybe you won't follow Jesus around Galilee on foot for 3 years, but you are called as a believer to follow him and to go where he went and to do what he did. And to experience what he experienced. You're called to take up your cross and lay down your stuff and make real sacrifices and boldly say yes to following Jesus. And maybe you won't preach to 3,000 people at a time. But according to 1 Peter 2:9 and Acts 1:8 and Matthew 28 and about a million other verses, we are called to tell people about Jesus. And maybe you won't walk on water. And maybe you won't pray for hundreds of people to be healed. And maybe they won't be bringing people and put them in your shadows. But you can pray for and believe in and experience miracles. And that's the one that everybody's like, well, hold on now, right? Because that sounds a little weird. So I'm just going to share scripture with you, okay? Not me talking now. I'm just reading it to you, okay? James 5:16. Do you believe this is written to us? It's not a trick question. What do you think? Is this written to us? Okay. James 5:16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So this is instructions to somebody to pray for miracles. And so let's figure out who these instructions are for. It's one, people who sin. Right? Because it says confess your sin. So it's got to be people that sin. And yet, it's got to be people, it says, who are righteous. So who struggles with sin and yet is still righteous? Yeah. who still might have sin in their life, but God sees them through the blood of Christ as righteous. Who? His kids. That's us, right? It's everybody that's covered by the blood of Jesus. So if you are somebody who struggles with sin, how many? Most, and a few liars, right? So I don't struggle, I just lie. So if you struggle with sin, this is the qualifications, man. If you struggle with sin and you're righteous through the blood of Jesus, then this is your verse. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And maybe you won't have people lining up to be in your shadow. And maybe it won't be hundreds of people, but you can pray for miracles and you can believe in miracles and you can experience miracles, wonderful results. And you know what? Not only are you called to follow Jesus, and not only are you called to tell people about Jesus, and not only are you called to believe in and experience miracles, you might not get arrested, right? You might not be put in jail, and you might never get the opportunity to be publicly beaten for Jesus. But there is a really good chance that somebody sometime somewhere is going to try to stop you from doing what Jesus has called you to do in following him or in telling people about him or in believing these miracles. And just like Peter, you are called to stand up to that opposition. So here's the question of the day. What is Jesus calling you to do that you just don't feel bold enough to do? Is it just like to really follow him? Or is it to tell somebody about him? Or is it to really pray for and believe in a miracle? Or is it to stand up when opposition comes? Maybe you feel the need, or you hear the call, or you see the opportunity, but you just don't have the boldness. Who does? Right? So I like, how does that work? Where do you get some of that, right? Where do you buy a quart of Peter's boldness? Or if you're a Costco person, where do you buy a 5-gallon bucket of Peter's, like, this incredible boldness? But I want to give you some encouragement today. Peter wasn't always so bold either, right? He was just as wimpy as us. And so what I want us to do is, like, look at his stories and see if we can get an idea where he got his boldness. And maybe that'll help us to have some of the same boldness that he had. So what I'm going to do today, I'm going to tell you two stories of the same Peter, but it seems like two different Peters. I call them Crybaby Peter and Bold Peter. And then let's just see what happened in between, right? Let's see what happened between him being a crybaby and him becoming so bold, and see if maybe that can happen for us too. So the first story is the story of Crybaby Peter. So this is in Luke 22. And Jesus is telling his guys, okay, it's on, man. The party's over, right? I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be horribly mistreated and tortured, and I'm going to be killed. And this is Luke 22:33. Peter said, and this is the way he stood when he said it. And Peter said, not on my watch. Right? Peter said, he's so brave, right? Peter said, oh, Lord, no, I am ready to go to prison with you, right? Even to die with you. Can't you hear his voice like dropping an octave right there, right? Oh, Lord, a prison, right? He's ready to go. And Jesus saith unto him, shut up, Peter. Not everything is about you, right? That's what you would have said. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, Peter, let me tell you something. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you'll deny me three times. You'll deny that you even know who I am three times. And so then Jesus starts giving orders, right? He's telling them, you better get your swords ready, man. It's fixing to happen. And then he prays that his guys won't give in to temptation. And then Jesus prays. Remember, he prayed, God, I don't want this, man. If there's any other way, but not my will, your will. And now here comes Judas, And he's got the priests, and he's got the soldiers, and he's got the torches. And now it's verse 54. They arrested Jesus. They led him to the high priest's home, and Peter followed at a distance. And remember what Peter just got through saying, right? Not on my watch. I'll go to prison. I'm ready to die. Bring it on. I'm ready for it. And the guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it. So these guys are all, it's cold night, right? They're warming up. They got a fire going. People are gathering around. I don't know if they're roasting weenies or whatever, but they're just, it's not an official event, right? This isn't, we're not chasing down all the Christians or something. They're just guys standing around. So Peter goes over there and he's like leaning in. Yeah, ooh, what a night, right? Ooh. And he's just acting like he's trying to blend in, right? Verse 56, a servant girl, it specifically does not say a servant woman. It's age specific. A servant girl. So I want you to picture in your head a girl that's 13, right? And she's skinny, right? And she's got probably pigtails and freckles and braces, okay? And this girl noticed Peter in the firelight, and she started like staring at him, and she goes, hey, wait a minute, I know you, right? You're one of Jesus's followers. But Peter denied it. Woman, he said, I don't even know him. That's one. Verse 58, after a while, somebody else looked at him and said, you must be one of them. I don't know if he like recognized his clothes from where he was from or his accent or something. You must be one of them. And Peter said, no, man, I am not. Verse 59, about an hour later, somebody else insisted, this man must be one of them because he's a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I don't even know what you're talking about. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And at that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Can you get that in your head? He's on the cross. And he looked at Peter. And suddenly the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. That Jesus had said, before the rooster crows in the morning, you'll deny me three times. In this story, Peter was pretty mouthy. You know, he talked a good game. But he was anything but bold. Right? If anything, he was more of a crybaby. Okay, fast forward. Acts chapter 3. This is the story of bold Peter. I'll just read it. So Peter and John, this is Acts 3:1. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in, and every day he would be beside the temple gate and he would beg for people as they were going into the temple. And when he saw Peter and John going in, he asked them for some money, and Peter and John looked at him intently, the Bible says, and they're like, look at us, right? You're asking for money. Look at us. Right? This is when you go into ministry, you choose. Look how I'm dressed. I mean, this is what you choose, okay? We're not going to be high fashion people, right? We're not going to have the glitz and all that stuff. So he says, give me some money. And they're like, look, dude, no, that's no. But look what Peter says. I don't have silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk. That's pretty bold. That's pretty bold to just say that to somebody, right? And everybody's watching. What if it doesn't happen? Right? That's pretty bold. And then Peter doesn't just like keep walking. He like bends over, picks up the guy by the hand, and like raises him up. And like, I hope, wouldn't you be scared? Like, rise up and walk. And you lift him up, and he's like, oh, shoot. You know, he fell. Would you? This is bold, right? This is very bold to just, we're doing this thing. And he lifts him up, and the guy starts walking. And so they walk into the temple. Well, obviously, a crowd of people go with them because they just saw this incredible thing happen. So verse 12, Peter sees the opportunity and addresses the crowd. He just walks in, a crowd gathers, and he stands up. He just got through preaching in the other story, right? He just stands up, and look what he says to these people. Why do you stare at us? What's so surprising about this? You act like we made this man walk by our own power or godliness. It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our ancestors who's brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. It's the same Jesus who you handed over, right? He's in the church, man. These are where the people are that just killed Jesus. And he says, you guys are the ones that did this. You rejected this holy righteous one and demanded the release instead of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this fact. Would you say that's a pretty bold statement to make? That's a pretty bold statement. And look, he's not done. So Peter says, now, repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Imagine going in. These are like the most powerful, most religious people in the whole country. And Peter says, repent of your sins. Repent of your sins. And so now they're talking, man. People are following them. And so chapter 4, while Peter and John were repeatedly speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priests and the captains of the temple and some of the Sadducees. And these leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there's resurrection of the dead. So they arrested them. They arrested them. And since it was morning, or since it was nighttime, they put him in jail overnight until the next morning. But a lot of people had heard that message and believed it. So now the number of believed has now reached 5,000. How many was it in the last story? 3,000. So we're pretty good growth going on right there, right? So the next morning, it says, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of religious law met in Jerusalem. They brought in the big shots here. Man, we got Caiaphas and Annas and Alexander, other relatives of the high priest. He's bringing in his brother-in-law. They brought in the two disciples, and they stand before him, and they said, by what power, in whose name, who gave you authorization? Who do you think you are that did this? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? That's pretty bold, right? That's pretty bold. Let me clearly state to you and all the people of Israel, he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we may be saved. Would you say that's pretty bold? This is a theocracy. Right? This isn't America, right? They have no separation of church and state, right? That's not a thing, right? So the most powerful religious people are the most powerful political people. These guys have virtually unlimited power. They can easily ruin his life. They can take his life if they want it. They just got through killing Jesus. So what level of boldness does it take to stand up to those people? In fact, that's what it says, verse 13. The members of the council, they just got through saying, here's what's going to happen, and Peter just kind of talks right back to them. It says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they were amazed. But since they could see the man that he had healed standing right there in front of them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber and conferred among themselves. So they, okay, you guys go out. We got to talk this over. We don't know what we're going to do, because they said, what are we going to do with these guys? Because we can't deny they've done a miracle. Everybody saw it. So to keep them from, I like this in the New Living Translation, to keep them from spreading their propaganda any further, we must warn them never to speak to anyone ever again in Jesus' name. So they called the apostles back in and commanded them to never again speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter, and remember who he's talking to, okay? Remember who he's talking to. Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you or him? Right? We can't stop telling everybody what we've seen and heard. That's pretty bold. The council threatened him further, but they finally let him go, because they didn't know how to punish him without starting a riot, because everyone's praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man that had been lamed for more than 40 years. That is a pretty bold story for a guy that 2 months ago, right, 7 weeks before this, he was lying to this little girl. Something happened in between those stories that changed him from crybaby Peter, scared of this little girl, to bold Peter, praying for a miracle. What? That's so bold to ask for that healing and preaching to just total strangers and telling people about Jesus and just standing up to the same people that just got through killing Jesus. And I just want to know what happened. I want to know what changed. And more importantly, like, whatever happened, how can we get that to happen to us? Right? How can that change happen for us, so we can be bold enough to really follow Jesus? So we can be bold enough to tell people about Jesus, so we can be bold enough to expect and have faith in and experience miracles? How can we be bold enough to stand up when Satan comes at us with temptation, or when the world comes at us and tries to keep us from following Jesus or telling people about Jesus? What happened to him, and how do we get some of that, right? And you probably already saw it, and you probably already knew it, but I'm going to tell you what happened to Peter. The Holy Spirit happened to Peter. That's what happened. In the first story, crybaby Peter didn't have the Holy Spirit. Jesus was with him. Jesus was with him, but Jesus wasn't in him. Right? And I know because in between those stories, on the page right before the bold story, Peter, bold Peter story in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we'll start. This is after the resurrection. Jesus has come to his disciples. He's fixing to go up to the Father. And right before he does, he says to the disciples, Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Apparently, Peter believed that. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, through Judea and Samaria, even to the ends of the earth. Jesus' promise was that they would receive power. Right, to really follow him and to tell people about him and to see miracles and to stand up to whatever. And that power that he was promising them was his power. His spirit, right? The Holy Spirit, his spirit would empower them. And then he went up to heaven. And so it's like, okay, now we wait, right? And they waited for his spirit to return and come on them, like he said. And that was right after Passover, we know. And then 50 days later, it happened. And the Holy Spirit came. And you guys know the story, man. Their hair's on fire, the wind, the speaking in languages and all that stuff. The Holy Spirit in Acts 2 came on them like fire. Like they caught on fire. And verse 3 says, then what looked like flames, right? Like here's this giant fire of the Holy Spirit, right? And little pieces of that fire rested on each one of them, right? And it was like, it's on them now. Each one of them has like a little piece of this increasing, this fire of the Holy Spirit. So what looked like flames appeared and settled on each one of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit was represented by this little part, right, on their head of this fire being in each believer. So the same power that created everything, right, the same power that Jesus had come in. And remember, Peter's seen it, right? He saw Jesus walk on water. He saw Peter heal people. He saw Jesus heal people and raise the dead. He saw Jesus resurrect himself by the power of that Spirit. And now Peter knows that that same spirit is in him. Can you see how that might make somebody a little bit bolder? Right? Of course, this isn't any longer about Peter being good enough or talented enough or smart enough or bold enough to follow Jesus and tell people about Jesus and experience miracles and stand up to opposition. This is about the Spirit of God living in Peter, and that same Spirit empowering him and leading him and directing him and enabling him to do all things through Christ in him who gave him strength. So, yeah, he's feeling pretty bold because maybe Peter can't follow Jesus. Too much of a crybaby, right? Maybe Peter can't tell people. Too much of a crybaby. Maybe he can't experience miracles. Maybe he can't stand up to opposition, but Christ in him can. And here's where it happens. This is that very story, right? The Holy Spirit invades the church. This guy gets healed. These people call Peter in. They're so powerful, and they demand, by what power are you doing this? Who gave you authority to do this? In Acts 4:8, then Peter said, say it with me, filled with the Holy Spirit. Say this with me. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, this is the biblical first record of Holy Spirit-inspired sarcasm, right? He says, rulers and elders of our people, are we really being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and all the people of Israel, he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus, the Nazarene, the man you crucified that God raised from the dead. Listen, there is nothing bolder than talking trash to the people that have the power to kill you. All right? But that boldness had nothing to do with Peter. All right? It wasn't because he knew how great he was. Right, because he saw what happened to Jesus. It had everything to do with the Holy Spirit of Jesus living in him and through him. Of course he was bold, right? Of course he was bold. He believed that he was led and directed and empowered and enabled by the same Spirit that spoke the universe into existence. He believed that he was full of the same Spirit that healed and delivered and overcame Satan and sin and temptation and death. It wasn't self-confidence. It was boldness. And that boldness came from faith. and the Spirit of God living in him. And he knew that Spirit would empower him. And here's the thing. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, now that same Spirit lives in us. So we can be bold. So we can follow. So we can tell people about Jesus. So we can experience miracles. So we can stand up to opposition, not in our power, not in our talent, not in our strength, not in our boldness, in his. If that Spirit is in us. So how many of you would say you belong to Jesus? You're saved, you're a Christian, you're a follower, a believer. So that's most. So here's good news. You already have his Spirit in you. You already have his Spirit in you. Imagine if you opened a bank account and like they put some money in it to start you off, right? We put $1 million in there, but they didn't tell you, right? And then one day you're saying, man, I keep writing bad checks and they keep going through. What's going on, right? So you look and it's like, oh, look at that. I got $1 million in the bank, right? That's this thing, man. You already have it. You already have it. And I know, how do you, don't listen to me. Listen to Paul. Romans 8:9 says, remember, those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. So what does that mean? If you do belong to him, you do have his Spirit living in you. Just like Paul, just like Peter, to enable you and empower you and embolden you to follow him and to tell people about him and to experience miracles and to stand up to everything. His Holy Spirit comes to live in you when you come to be in Christ. Just by your relationship with him. And that's what happened to Peter, right? He didn't buy a quart of boldness. He didn't learn it, right? He didn't like work up this boldness. Right, it was just a product of his relationship with Jesus. Here's where, look, Acts 4:13, right after the Holy Spirit trash talk, it says, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, because they could see that they were just regular people, ordinary men, with no special training in the scriptures. But they also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Right? They could see this Holy Spirit boldness, this Holy Spirit power in them, and they knew. You know, I'll tell you what happened to them, right? They've been with Jesus. And if you haven't been with Jesus, if you don't belong to Jesus, if you're not in him, if you're like a fake Christian, because like, well, I go to church, so. Right? If his Spirit is not in you, then I have to tell you, if you're a kind of Christian, you will never really follow Jesus. And you will never effectively tell people about Jesus. And you will never experience Holy Spirit miracles. And you are not going to be able to stand up to the impossible opposition that's coming, because just like Peter, you're a crybaby. You're just not that good. You're just not that bold on your own. But the minute you decide to really follow Jesus, the minute you literally, this word, repent, right? The minute you say, I'm going this way, I'm turning towards Jesus, right? The minute you make that pivot, the minute you make that change, the minute you decide that you're going to have a real relation, not a Sunday morning for an hour and 15 minutes. I'm going to have a real relationship with Jesus where he's leading and I'm following. The minute you choose to really be with Jesus, he will not only love you, he will not only forgive you, he will not only accept you and give you eternal life, he'll empower you with his Spirit now to boldly live for him in this life. And man, if you're ready to do that today, we should talk about that. This is like the most important thing that could ever happen. And so, I mean, I'm here, like after church, I'm just walking around. Just come talk to me. Let's talk about this thing. Or talk to somebody else. Talk to one of the people on stage. Talk to Joy. I tell you what, go to the Connection Center. Find anybody wearing one of these. And just say, I want to do that thing, man. I want to get to know this Jesus. I want to see what it is to really follow him. Not to show up for church once in a while. To really follow him. I want that same power in me. that Peter had. And if you're ready to do that, man, it take a couple of minutes can change everything for your, not now, not the rest of your life, forever, forever. And I mean, probably, you don't already raise your hands. Most of you are Christians, I know. And a lot of you have been Christians for years, but a lot of us have never really experienced that power and that leading and that direction that leads to the boldness of the Holy Spirit. And maybe you're wondering, like, I mean, you say I have it, right? But how do I turn it on, right? How do I, like, where's the Holy Spirit switch? You know, where do I, how do we, like, tap in to that boldness? And so we have a lot of people here from a lot of different church backgrounds and everything. I think a lot of people talk about this in a lot of different ways. And honestly, I'm not sure that any one of them is more right than another. Maybe it's kind of like different ways for us to understand the same thing. Maybe it's like a refilling of the Spirit that we received at salvation, or an upgrade of the Spirit, like Holy Spirit 2.0 or something. Like, I think of like topping it off. You know, I've got gas in my tank, but it's not quite full. I'm gonna top it off. Or maybe it's already there, and we just need to be made more aware of Him. And maybe we just need to, like, step out in faith and, here's a good word, like, appropriate the power that's already in us. But however we see it, you know, however we say it, I think we can experience it. I think we can just ask God for it. That's what Peter's friends did. After the council, like, threatened him that last time and they let him go, like, he gets out and everybody says, oh, good, they didn't kill you. And so now they're having like a little prayer meeting at their church or whatever. And they pray. Look what they pray. This is Acts 4:29. Oh, now, O Lord, hear their threats. These are the most powerful people in the world, right, are threatening them. Hear their threats and give us your servants. What would you pray for? I would ask for protection, right? You heard him. You know what they can do, man. God, I'm praying, give me protection, right? Give me peace. I'll take peace. Give me success. But that's not what they asked for. Look what they said. God, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness. Preaching your word, stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done by the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And look at this. After the prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled, or possibly refilled, or upgraded, or topped off, or however you see it, right, with the Holy Spirit. And then they preached the word of God with boldness, right? Dot, dot, dot. Everything else that's happened in the name of Jesus happened after that. So, like, depending on the tradition you come out of, maybe you see this as a baptism in the Holy Spirit, or maybe you see this as like a refill or an upgrade or a booster shot or something, or maybe you see this as just becoming aware. Like, now I see this power that's in me, and it's already full, and it's already boosted. Maybe His presence is already all around you, and you just need to become more aware of it so that you can boldly step into it. Like, I love that word, like, appropriate it. But however you see it, and however you say it, and however you understand it, I think we should ask God for it. I think we'd not try. I'm going to get more bold, you know, not try. I'm going to just ask God for it. Like, let's pray for boldness, man. Not for God to do magic tricks, you know. For Him to give us His power so that we can have boldness to say yes, to really follow Jesus, to really follow Jesus. So we can have boldness to tell people about Jesus when it's hard, because it is. So that we can have boldness to ask for and believe for and experience real miracles. And so we can have boldness to stand up to anyone or anything or any spirit that tries to come against us in these things. So my recommendation is that you pray and ask the same thing they ask. Give us your boldness. Give us your spirit. And I think now we're all together anyway. It's a pretty good time to just pray together. So can we just do that? Can we just ask Him for His boldness? Let's do that. Father, first of all, if there's somebody here that doesn't know you at all, that has never experienced this initial filling of your Spirit and this forgiveness and acceptance and love that you offer, if there's somebody here that doesn't know you, God, I just pray that you would just empower them and give them boldness to come forward and say, man, I need to know more about Jesus. I need to get this thing figured out. Will you give them boldness to really seek you so that they can be with you, they can belong to you, and they can be filled with your Spirit? And then, God, for the rest of us, man, we're just like these people. We're already saved. We have your Spirit in us, but we're asking the same thing that they asked. Right? This is a scripturally ordained prayer. We know we're praying in your name. We're praying it right out of your word. God, we're asking you to give us boldness because we want to really follow you, and we're crybabies. We want to really follow you, but it's too hard. We want to tell people about you, but it's too hard for us. We want to experience miracles, but we don't quite have the faith to even ask or believe in those things. We want to stand up when the devil comes at us with temptation. We want to come to stand up when people tell us we can't tell people about Jesus, but we just don't quite have the boldness. So God, this is us praying the same prayer that the original church prayed 2,000 years ago. God, will you give us boldness? Will you empower us and fill us so full? Make us so aware of your Spirit that our own shortcomings or our own weaknesses or the results that we're afraid might happen don't even come into our head, that we just immediately step out. We boldly follow Jesus and we do what he did and we go where he went and we say the things that he said and we sacrifice and we love like Jesus. Give us boldness, power in our spirit so that we tell people who he is, what he's done for us and what he can do for them. Give us boldness. Give us the power, God, to just believe enough to ask for miracles to be done in our families and in our bodies and in our walks with you. God, give us boldness because Satan comes against us. He opposes us, man. He doesn't want us to follow you and tell people about you and experience you. So give us boldness when he comes, when sin comes, when temptation comes, when anything comes that tries to oppose us following Jesus, telling people about Jesus, and experiencing your miraculous presence. Give us the boldness to stand up and say, I will follow Jesus. I will tell people about Jesus. I will ask for, I will believe in, and I will experience miracles in his name. Amen.